Good evening, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than being thin-skinned.
Huh. Okay. Yeah. Well, I think a lot of things are better than being thin-skinned. I hope we live up to that.
Well, we, as you know, we set our expectations very low, and we usually succeed.
We can only go up from there.
Absolutely.
Good.
The number to call in is 845-986-8804. 845-986-8804. You can join our chat room, The Den Pen, by going to davinsden.com and clicking chat and listen live. Or if you're listening on one of our affiliates, simply open up a new window in your browser, type in davincomedy.com, go to the Davin's Den page on the bottom, click on that, and then click chat and go, and you're in our chat room. I'm your host, Davin Rosemont. I am joined by Joe Curry.
Hello.
And Pip Helix.
Hi, everybody.
Lot to get to tonight, as always. We'll be seeing what troubles Joan Rivers and Cat Williams are having, if we have time.
Yes.
And we've got a lot of stuff before that, but I'm hoping we can get to that. We'll also check in on Belinda. As things in Africa, I promised a hefty amount of, as you call them, the stories.
The stories, Sharu.
The
stories.
All right, Nana. I haven't seen my stories. What's going on?
You know, it's like, shut up. Don't talk to me. I'm watching
my stories.
My
stories are wrong.
And I just added, right before the show, a brief little update on Avalos and a pretty famous anti-scammer that some people like to follow.
Mm.
Who
really?
I'll get into that.
Ooh, so. A tease.
A little tease. That's what
Ooh,
I
a tease.
Do. We have a new show Twitter account.
Yes,
you can follow us at Davin's Den on Twitter. So please
follow us.
Please follow us. I sent Joe and Pip the information so they can log in and hopefully put some interesting tweets up there.
Oh wait, you didn't say interesting.
I said hopefully.
Hopefully they'll follow. They'll get followers like I got this week, and I was over the compound.
Yeah,
and I was just talking to Nate. Goes, yeah, you got a lot of followers. I told him how many I had. He goes, just a minute. I'll fix that. And he puts out a tweet. He goes, Joe Curry is one of my best friends. He's got a lot of stories. Have Joe in it. Later on Sunday morning, about 975.
But you've lost a bunch of people since then.
Yeah.
In the 700s, I guess they had enough of your shenanigans.
No.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you don't have in the nines anymore.
No.
But still, a nice addition.
Yes.
You probably would have kept them if you hadn't tweeted. I find I lose people when I tweet. I find I get more people when I just remain silent.
Mm.
So that is my advice to you, Joe.
Right.
Maybe those people will come back if you
stop
tweeting.
people are going to unfriend me from that many people?
What?
You can go on your Twitter page. I'm telling you, you have like 700 and something.
Maybe it was in 700.
No, oh.
Nobody would leave me except one person. But we'll get
there.
Look at him jump. We'll get there.
Look at that foreshadowing.
Settle down. Don't worry about it. It's cool. Don't worry.
I'm not.
You were looking so like I was going to jump right in. I understand.
Gosh.
It's all right. It's cool.
Also, 2 weeks ago, I'm going to get through this intro. We almost got through an intro without him stepping all over it. Almost. 2 weeks ago, I was on Sirius XM's Ward and Al show to discuss the animal abuse pages that are on Facebook. And it was funny. I tweeted right before I went on.
Right.
That I was going to be going on Sirius XM Ward and Al.
Yeah.
To talk about the animal abuse pages that Facebook allows.
Right.
And I tagged Facebook in the tweet. I hashtagged them in the tweet so that shows up in their little feed.
Right.
And all of a sudden, like, a page that had been reported for months due to animal abuse disappeared.
Well, that's good.
You know, good.
Yeah, I know. But
whatever it takes, you know.
They just stink.
Yeah.
They're
really bad.
It's all about
they ruin Zumba.
They certainly have. It's all about the press. But anyway, so we had a very nice interview on the Ward and Al show, and they were kind enough to send me the recording of that. So I have that up on our feed, so you can listen to that. Go to davinsden.com, go to our RSS feed. You can listen to there, and iTunes, and iHeartRadio. So it's all over the place. You guys can listen to that. They didn't really know a lot about what was going on, so they were fascinated and everything. They knew shenanigans that Facebook played, but they had no idea that Facebook was, like, you know, allowing
to the extent that they were doing
it. Yeah, where, like, you know, people are, hey, let's all get together and watch a bunch of pit bulls die. All right, I don't think we should allow that.
Yeah, they didn't.
Yeah, no.
I don't think many people realize that Facebook is puppy and kitten killer central.
Yeah, I mean, there's still a page on there. The actual contents of the page are not horrific.
Right.
But the name of the page is.
Ugh.
All cats are vermin and should be boiled alive. I mean, how does that even get past the people? Well, there was nobody at the wheel.
And it's not like they're putting it under another, you know, pseudonym.
No, that's
where
the
you
name.
Can't find it. That's what it's called.
That's
I
the
know.
Name. It's not like my little quote-unquote pet name
it. It's like a porno film where they just don't, like, beat around the bush with the name, you know?
Yeah.
Face bullets, you know?
Yeah.
You know? I wonder what the theme is, you know?
I think it's a romance show.
Yeah.
it's a rom-com.
They never beat around the bush, you know? Or, no pun intended.
Yeah, the first time I let it slide. How many times are you going to
beat that around the bush? No. Beat that dead horse. No, we don't do that in those films.
No. Well, sometimes when a man's alone.
Dead horse, is that what we're calling
well,
it these
it's
days?
Not working.
Yeah, that's
it's
true.
It's a dead horse. Your dick, Joe, if it's not getting up.
I understand.
You seem confused.
You're what? A little slow, a little behind this ball when I'm making a dick joke. You got to jump on it there.
Jump
on the dick joke, boy.
No, that's my job.
Don't look at me. That was my fault.
I know where the awful came from.
All right, well, okay.
You're not the cruise director.
But it's like you're the dad and we're all in trouble and I'm like, it's not my fault. I'm like hiding behind the closet because
I know. Why do you think
sis is up Schitt's Creek? And
why do you think you're
going to
get my beating?
Not bad.
So Joe actually gave me a nice segue into what I wanted to bring to your guys' attention when he said in the closet, you know, hiding in the closet. I don't know how I feel about this situation I'm going to present to you guys. I'm a little torn on
you
this.
Coming out?
Yeah.
Not me per se.
Okay.
Not ready to emote that type of raw emotion, but Joe will in a little while.
Yes.
We cleared the sofa for you.
So as you guys know, my kid's in camp, and you know, I have to go to these various productions every couple of weeks, like the campers put on. This is like the third one.
So like the one we do on Tuesdays.
Yeah, sort of like that. But with more prep and talent. No, I like these people who aren't trained dancers or anything, like the counselors, teach these kids for like a week how to do like a dance or something.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And, you know, as a parent, you go because...
It's
you're
kids.
A parent.
It's cute.
Yes, Joe. Yeah, well, no, Joe was correct.
Yeah, because it's your parent.
Okay.
Yeah.
There ain't nothing cute about this.
And this is the third one I've gone to. Mm-hmm. And my daughter, I went to the first one this year, which is like the first week of camp. And, mm-hmm. you know, they won because they get graded. Not graded, but they have like judges like for different things. So they can win, like, they got, like, an ice cream party or something like that. Cool stuff.
Sweet.
For the kids. Yeah.
See, I'm surprised they do that, because the way everybody's sensitive now, you figure it might hurt the kids' feelings who lost and stuff like that. And I'm not trying to, you know, oh, this is how I feel. It just seems, you know, there's no flack about that?
No, there's losers in camp, Joe. It's fine.
That's
you'd
good.
Like
that's good.
That
no, that's good.
Good.
That's good.
You know how I feel about losers. I embrace them. Well, yeah. So I have no... I
why
have
did
no...
you look at us like that when you said that?
Listen, I don't... Some things just get... are left unsaid.
He just opened his arms to us.
Mm. I'm the Jesus Christ of losers.
No.
Which
wow.
is what really Jesus Christ was.
He
was.
But yeah. It's just the Christians later on that made him all exclusive and shit. But I mean, Jesus Christ was actually about including everybody.
Oh, yeah. No,
the Jews who really didn't want to be included. But that's a different
story. Oh, well, Jesus would come into Jerusalem with these guys he found in the desert, and the Jews are like, what in the hell? What are you
well,
doing,
he was
Jesus?
A Jew. He was a rabbi.
Jesus
was a rabbi.
I didn't think he was a rabbi.
He was a rabbi.
Just a prophet.
No, he was a rabbi.
How did he become? He became a rabbi.
Yeah, he was a very learned Jewish
man. Yeah, he
man.
Was. A,
oh,
he
I
was
didn't
a
know
rabbi.
That.
Of course you don't. It's your religion. Why would you? Go on. You're like my audiences. I talk about their guy. They have no idea.
I didn't know he was a rabbi. I thought they considered him a prophet.
Well, yes, that too. But he was.
He was a
rabbi.
Rabbi.
I didn't know that.
The Last Supper was a Passover Seder.
Okay.
And he's like, what does that mean?
Not now.
No, I was just interested about that. It's interesting to learn about things.
Yeah. It's a shame you're getting all your info from me. Sure. Yeah, Joe, you go to church.
Well,
I'm sure
stupid
you do.
On that one. Holy smokes. It's good to
but
learn
actually,
about
it. Yeah. Actually, Joe, you're a perfect example of my audience, though, because I do a lot of Jesus material.
Yeah.
And you have to know a little bit about the New Testament.
Yes.
And most of my audience is a Christian. And they react
but
like you
know,
do, and I have to...
prerequisite for your gig is Bible study.
No, but it's basic stuff. It's your guy. Don't say you're a Christian if you don't know about your guy. You're nothing.
We said he did nice things. He died on the cross. Sometimes we don't get into
the
backstory.
The Republicans don't say he did nice things. They say he would not let these people here. What would Jesus do? He would build a wall at the border.
We got 3 hours. Let's don't start.
Lisa says he
don't
was
start.
In it for the yarmulke.
Yeah, we'll give yarmulkes away. Jews, we'll give yarmulkes away. You can have a yarmulke. Anyway, so back to camp. Not the type that the other Jews are known for going to, but a different type of camp. Children's
oh, thank
camp.
God.
Yes.
So they have another one of these dance productions. So there's seven and eight-year-old boys. Their production that the counselors came up with for them to sing, that the counselors are going to sing with them, are It's Raining Men.
No.
No.
That is so
I'm trying to find.
Stupid.
I have the music. So
It's Raining Men.
For the
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It's raising. Do you know the song?
Yeah. Yeah. it's
you secretly dance
and...
to it in your bedroom?
No, not at gunpoint. What are these kids? What, really?
I know. What?
These counselors, they wouldn't be from the village to come up and make some money during the summer.
I gotta go into the background.
Is this Rainbow Unicorn Camp by any chance?
So here's the thing. And some of the lyrics of the song, like, men are washing on me and everything, and the kids are acting it out, and it's just, and I'm conflicted. And then later on, there's like 12-year-olds.
You should be.
There's 12-year-olds that are dressed, some with wigs and cross-dressing. That production was horrible.
All right, this is fair camp, is what this is. The kid is in fair camp. Get her the hell out of there.
Well, she's a girl, so it's not lesbian camp.
I understand that, but
not
if
yet.
It's a fair camp. I'm getting them out of there. They're not building camp wires. They're learning bossy routines. Get them out of there. It's a fair camp.
Well, all right. Well, then you're going to be very upset to learn that they took first prize. It was a very good production.
I'm afraid to ask what first prize was.
A hot dog eating contest. I don't know.
I'm not for nothing. You got the choreography. It's tough to keep,
I'm so picturing the girls doing the Indigo Girls as a production next.
So here's where I am when I watch this.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there first going, because part of me's going, really?
Yeah.
Really? We're having a little boy singing It's Raining Men? And then the other part of me, well, they're teaching him to be open and alternative. I don't know where
he's five. He shouldn't be
no,
singing.
They're eight. They're eight.
The advanced classes in town. He's just Raining Men. I don't. If I was a, I saw my kids sing It's Raining Men, I would freak out.
Is it teaching? I mean, all right, is it teaching tolerance or is it pushing gay agenda? I don't know. I'm very conflicted about this.
Let me put it this way. Trucker Tom says, I suddenly think about that Men On sketch on Living Color.
Yeah, right.
Men on Film.
Men on Film.
No, that's Duran Duran. Men On.
No, that's
on
Girls
film.
On Film.
Oh.
No,
Duran,
Men on
Duran,
Film.
I don't actually think gay.
And it's like, you know, triple snap, you know.
They shouldn't have boys coming out singing It's Raining Men.
Well, I mean, they were coming out, Joe.
Believe me, you could have sold about 3,000 tickets to pedophiles. I'm sure they would have beat down the door to see that.
I mean, they're acting out. They're doing like the fingers, like jazz hands, like It's Raining Men.
Of course. There had to be jazz hands in that skit.
It was very entertaining. I was very disturbed when I saw this. But part of me is like hating. He's like, damn it, they're teaching tolerance. What the hell's wrong with you, you liberal? But other parts of me go, you know what? Why can't we didn't do this at baseball camp?
All right, exactly. Let me tell you something. Bill Maher was sitting next to you. It was a fan camp. We're getting our kids out of here. I mean, come on.
Joke?
Enough is enough. Wait, I mean, you know, really.
Hold on a second. Now, there have been studies, and I don't know that they're totally accredited studies, that say that most... not all, but most children say that by the time they're teens that they have experimented with the same sex. Where does that experimentation happen? Camp and college.
But I think this is like, all right, is it just an innocent song? Is it just an innocent song, or is it overtly like pushing?
No, it's Raining Men. It's a Raining Men with the jazz hands. I don't think it's an accident.
Jazz hands are never an accident.
You know, you got to
unless you're not stepping in a man.
You can't
puddle.
Sing a Winnie the Pooh song or something like that or whatever or something like you know they got to.
Yeah, some of the girls were singing stuff from Frozen.
It's Raining Men.
Yeah, that's
really?
Not an accident.
That's not an accident.
All right. Well, I had a feeling you would be out against it.
Of course.
But I didn't know I didn't know how Pip would feel, because Pip's much more liberal than you are. So but she's like right there with you, so now I don't feel so bad that camp turned into
camp. You're a liberal yeah. too, and you're going,
it's camp, camp.
It's a fag camp.
All right, well, you know, it's not a fag camp, Joe. They're not sashaying around 24/7.
No, it's just
campy
camp.
They were just doing
it
for about 10 minutes.
Can't be camp.
So this is a problem.
With sparkles.
I mean, and they won, so it's like they're completely endorsing this.
Right. But now, were the boys seeming to feel like they were, like, begrudgingly doing it, or were they totally, like, selling
You've never
it?
Seen such happy 8-year-old boys.
Really?
You've never seen such happy 7- and 8-year-old boys. And the parents were liking. And I got to be, I'm looking around and go, all right, maybe it's just me. Maybe.
Because
I'm not anti-gay. I just don't know if we know. I wouldn't want to push anything sexually heterosexual. On 8-year-olds
no,
either.
No.
And there was like some of like the 12-year-olds were singing like some songs that like mention kind of sexual, and I was a little uncomfortable with that. So I'm like, wow, I turned into the prude.
I know what you mean.
Sometimes you think some things are wrong. When I went to camp, we had these two hippie counselors with guitars, and they were playing Hey Jude from the Beatles. Now I'm singing along. I thought it was Hey Jude. And I'm saying, hey, Jew. No, I wasn't. But I just, I'm
but
like,
now you are.
No, but I felt, I go, I even said, what a racist song.
Oh, that's so funny.
My voice will be heard.
Well, I was at a police concert once, and years ago, and the people next to me, these guys that I vaguely knew, but they weren't like my friends or anything, I overheard them singing, you know, the song One World? Yeah, because one world is enough for all of us. Mm. They were singing "One Girl Is Enough for All of Us" along to the music.
All right, this is a hell of a gangbang.
And I'm like, oh my God.
All right, we're talking about, but these are kids.
They're kids.
These are kids turning around lyrics. We all do this. This is a camp-sponsored thing where counselors, instructors are in a position of authority. They're kids too, but they're teens and everything. They came up with this.
Yes.
And now they're all out in the open. Bunch of little, I mean, does anybody go, you know what, maybe no. Maybe no.
Yeah, just, there's so many other songs you could have picked.
Yes, yes there is.
You know,
yeah.
And the
like
the,
any
the,
other song.
They purposely picked that one.
Thanks, thank Porky. You,
I felt like Porky Pig trying to say Episcopal. Episcopal by Protestant.
Now, the thing is, I'm at first I started thinking, oh, my knee-jerk reaction is, oh, bad liberal, you're so offended. But it's sexuality, any kind of sexuality for eight-year-olds.
I don't want any type of sexuality for eight-year-olds.
Right,
I don't think
exactly.
That's cute and funny. It's kind of gross.
Yeah. And that's what's turning that liberal mind, you know, into against doing that.
But is the song overtly sexual? I mean, there's a lot of innuendo in there, but,
it was raining people.
Its song is called It's Raining Men.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Really?
Well, I mean, we've all had that day, Joe, where we just wish it would rain some men.
But
I mean,
don't the lyrics say something like, you know, short, tall, long, and lean? Or, you know, like they're talking about their bodies and going like, you know,
well,
it's kind of like, mm-mm-mm.
Well, maybe
they're
endorsing all the different body types. Maybe it's a positive.
Oh, fuck that. I don't think so.
All right, so I was right to be initially disturbed.
It's raining, man. Sexy, sexy,
yeah,
big,
I mean,
strong
why
man.
You should have just played Wang Bang Sweet Poo Tang. I really had it up there.
Well, Joe, we really don't like the message that song has.
I love that song.
Not thrilled with the guy who's singing it these days, but I like a little nude.
I don't know that song.
Oh, it's Ted Nugent.
Oh, all okay, right. No.
Nobody else seemed... bothered by
Wang
this.
Sweet Putang is a
Nugent.
Real song?
Yeah, yeah. It's Ted Nugent. It's very deep.
It's not like Michael Bolton sang it. It's Ted Nugent, for Christ's sake. He wears a line quote.
Sorry, you said
Bolton. All right, so do I write to them? I mean, I've never written anybody to go. I'm not really a writer.
I know.
The actor.
You know what, though? It almost it almost turns into what we were discussing 2 weeks ago about your opinion about something that bothers you. Are you going to turn into that guy or that lady at one of our shows?
Only because it's put upon the kids.
Yeah.
Not because of me. I mean, I don't care for me.
Right.
But it's put upon the kids. The kids have to perform this.
Yeah.
Maybe one of them picked the song. They're doing this in front of all the other... Maybe it's opening up to getting teased by the older kids.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
You can question the counselors why they picked the song. And if
I can question the kids why they sang it.
Well, I know. But I would question the counselors why they picked that song. If the answer is not favorable to you, then you might want to complain.
I don't know the kids, I mean, I know the kids are becoming more savvy earlier than we did, and a lot of that stuff goes over their heads. I mean, because when you look back at Bugs Bunny cartoons, which we loved, there was a lot of stuff in there that was put in there for the adults that we didn't get.
Right.
I still didn't get into all
this. But it wasn't
adult.
The kids performing it. It was the kids. It was us watching.
Watching it. Yeah. But the thing is that, you know, at their age, perhaps they're still young enough, they didn't know what they're talking about. So, I don't think that the kids were probably as affected by it, but it is interesting to ask, why the hell did you pick this?
And it won.
And, you know, it probably was the best performance of the day.
All right, but why did you pick that? You know,
Trucker Tom is a good point, too. He's saying, yeah, plenty of other bands. Culture Club, Madonna, Frankie Goes to Hollywood, Pet Shop Boys.
I don't care who the singers are.
No.
It's not like I'm complaining, oh, they picked Elton John. How could they? He's a gay musician. I don't care who
that,
the singers
are. Yeah, right.
No,
that would be
that's
ridiculous.
Stupid.
That's
yeah,
stupid.
No.
But
because then 90%.
But there are people that think that way.
Well, they're stupid.
Yeah,
yes, they are.
But 90% of what we find in entertainment, we wouldn't be able to see anymore if it was was like, right. Oh, no more gays? You know.
Right, but
forget it.
We are the champions or something like that.
Yeah.
You know?
All right, so I'm not alone in being uncomfortable.
Absolutely.
No, I would be squirming watching the jazz hands going around. Yeah, and
so
about,
I got to tell you, the little boys looked like they were having a gay old time.
Right.
they were really enjoying, and it was one of the most energetic performances.
You know, good on the kids. They were having fun.
Yeah.
They were just enjoying themselves. They were throwing themselves into it, which is the whole idea of having a camp where they can stretch and try new things.
Is this worse if it's not a regular camp, if it's a church camp? If this is Bible camp? Is this even a worse message?
It's a Bible camp?
No, it's not. It's just a regular camp.
It wouldn't happen in Bible camp. Because they would be so frightened of the message.
Oh, are you kidding me? They never played
yeah,
the Bible.
Then they would be like, no.
They're frightened of the message, just not the act? All right.
No, they would be totally like freaked out
about it. I'm going to go on the record right now.
Uh-huh.
I prefer 8-year-olds singing It's Raining Men than priests diddling kids. You guys can have your own opinion, but I'm gonna state that's my opinion.
Wait a minute. Why is that the black and whiteness of this all? It's
well, because they'd be afraid of the message. Yeah, but they're not afraid of touching the kids.
Yeah, I know, but that because that's secret. They wouldn't put something
then
out
there.
Then
why do I know about it?
Secret.
It is secret.
So it's not like they're calling me up. You'll never guess who I just touched. Little Joey over there. Oh, my God. And his ball. He's going to have pubes on his balls any day now. They're not calling me up. It's not a secret.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that the outward message is, we don't like that homosexuality thing. Now, what they're doing in their own cells
not in prison.
No. Like, nuns have cells. You know, that's where they stay. What
like
doing,
Al-Qaeda? Are they sleeper
they
cells?
They call them cells.
They call them cells?
I've never heard
yes.
that. I've never
heard of it. Anyway, there's a lot we're learning about religion tonight.
Yeah, but it's coming from her. How can we believe it? You and I never heard of it.
Yeah, look it up.
Look it up. Yeah, like we're going to do that. Yeah, good luck.
But whatever they're doing behind the curtain, that's part of the get me into the hypocrisy of most of the Christian churches. What they're doing behind the scenes is not what the message that they're promoting, and the message that they're promoting, a lot of the churches, not all of them, there are a lot of Christian churches that are gay friendly these days, but a lot of them are very anti homosexuality, and this would not fly.
All right, so this message, not a good message.
No, it,
okay.
No, anybody, any the most, you know, liberal person, and if you want to go the liberal route, mm-hmm. I would ask the counselors, why did you pick that song? Hear their answer. And if it's an answer you think is okay, then there. If you think it's unacceptable, maybe you want to complain.
I'll let my wife raise the issue. I probably won't.
Why did the 8-year-old girl sing like a virgin?
No, I would be bothered by that.
Yeah, same.
Yeah,
same
that's
problem.
A problem. Because an 8-year-old better not be like a virgin. Better be I am a virgin.
Yeah. I'm a virgin for a very long time. Daddy's got a sword off.
All right. Speaking of for a very long time, Joe put something on Facebook that led me to believe that a conversation happened this week that was due for a very long time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Basically, with the whole thing, I've been very elusive. We've heard cracks and side stories about what's been going on in my life.
I don't know about that. There's been moments where we've cleared off the couch and let everybody in.
Well, there's cleared off the couch. So basically what it is that in my marriage back in 2011, I fell madly in love with this one girl. Madly in love. And she was there with her boyfriend, and I was very, very jealous. And Joanne was standing right next to me. And I loved this girl very, very, very much. And I got to spend a little time with her. We didn't fool around or anything like that, but I did tell her I love her. And then she left to go away. And this was the beginning of 2011.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was going on that long.
2000, actually, was it 2013? It was the beginning of 2013, last year.
That's what I thought.
2013. But it started, I fell in love with her in 2011.
Oh.
All right, so this was building up. So 2012 going into 2013, it was New Year's Eve, and I was alone. You know, Joanne wasn't there, and this girl was hanging out. Her boyfriend came back to town, and I'm watching everybody hug and kiss. I wrote about this on a blog, but I'm standing alone, and I'm like, this is the worst, lowest point in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So then I come back on the show, and this is when we started doing the shows, and I wasn't myself. You guys knew that. I was just a different person because I had a feeling of guilt. Because I did tell this woman I loved her. I wrote a note saying that I loved her more than anything else in the world. And I was still with Joanne. And I had a problem. You know, the guilt, it was so immense. Okay?
You felt you were betraying Joanne?
I felt I was betraying Joanne. Okay. But my immense love that I had for this one girl just overpowered everything.
Would you say it was love? How could it be love? You don't really know her that well. You didn't spend time. How could you be in love
with her? Because when you're, it could be in love with her or what she represents.
To me, like the way you, I would think it's infatuation because it's different. You've had what you've had for a long time.
It's not infatuation. It was love. Now the difference between love, where maybe I don't know the person that well, and infatuation is that this woman represents something that I've been looking for my whole life. That I've been.
Well, that sounds like you're not necessarily in love with her, but in love with what she represents.
That could be true. That may be, that most likely that is true.
The promise.
But the promise, the sheer happiness, profound happiness I had being with this person.
Mm-hmm.
But that opens a door where, well, if that's the profound happiness I'm looking for, that profound happiness is not at my home.
Mm-hmm.
I lost it with my wife. It's not there.
Right.
Now, to be fair, you were already not spending a lot of time with her before this.
No, and that all builds up to a lot of stuff that our compatibility together, maybe the disagreements that we had, where I chose, I rarely take a vacation. I don't go away. If when I'm doing the show, I'm doing something else because I've been keeping myself busy with other stuff to keep my mind off a main problem I've had since I was a kid. Okay. And basically, when I met Joanne, I think my mom just died. I had to renovate a house. I had to go for a record deal. Next thing you know, I'm married. I didn't have a chance between the time my mom died and the time I got married to just figure stuff out on my own.
Yeah.
And I think that I just jumped it, you know, not jumped into it, but I just didn't. I wanted to, because my mom was still alive, I wanted to fix up our house, the house I'm still in, and move and get my own apartment, spend a year traveling, just to travel and do stuff. I never got to do that. And there's just been this thing where I never met somebody that I would want to spend all my time with.
Yeah.
And so moving on, going into 2013, I was a monster. I was horrible to you guys. I have to tell people had heard the show, I wasn't there. I was just a different person. What it turns out is when 2013 started, okay, I was out of McClinton. Race Odyssey didn't start up. My play that I wrote, it looked like it was dead in the water. We weren't getting along here. So I started the year off with nothing. I had nothing.
Yeah.
Well, I rebuilt it. Race Odyssey got back. My play is back on track. We're going to be filming some stuff. Davin and I had I bothered you with all my nonsense, and then him and I had a blowout. And I got everything back. Mm-hmm. I got everything back except the inner pain that was going on inside me.
Yeah.
And that I couldn't get rid of it. I couldn't get rid of it. So moving on. Basically, there was another woman I met in one of Anthony's parties that I had. Well, no, when Rot got played at Mexicali, there was a girl there that was hanging out, and I go. This reminds me a lot of the other one. I like her.
Yeah,
I didn't even say hello to her or anything like that, but we did meet.
Well, you were in a dress. It's hard to say. It's hard to say hello in a dress.
We did.
You were singing "Raining Men."
Yes,
he plays a mean cowbell to that song.
Yes,
and your jazz hands are not to be surpassed.
I know. Well,
I think he's got Broadway jazz hands.
I got Broadway jazz hands, but I'm not five in a play singing about it.
You missed your calling. You could have had first prize at a pizza party.
The way the gig's been going, like,
it wasn't a hot dog eating contest. Like, maybe turned into one later.
Mm. Anyway. Okay.
Yeah, thank you, Pip.
Okay. So anyway, towards the summer last year, I got to meet this girl and get along. And then around October, we started texting back and forth. And
are you over the other girl at this point?
No, I'll never be over her. I'll never, ever, ever, ever,
well,
ever be over
for
her.
Whoever snaps you right up.
Yeah, but
yeah, he's on plan
however,
C at this point.
However, this new girl, I was starting to fall for.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, when we were on the road in Michigan, the whole trip back, we're going through Chicago and stuff. I texted her almost the whole time.
Well, not the whole time. You were taking pictures of needless bullshit. Had to save your battery.
Let's just say his phone was on fire.
Yeah. Never seen his thumbs work so quickly.
Right. And so this one girl, she started to mean a lot to me. And
what does that mean, though? How does she mean a lot?
Because
to
you're finding a happiness, and regardless where your happiness is coming from, whether it's feeding the happiness that you have been missing for a long, long.
I would say it might not necessarily be her, just what she could be. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
but
anybody
it's
who
there. It's a tangible thing. It's there. It's you're going someplace, or talking with somebody, or texting with somebody that gives you profound happiness.
Yes.
Well, shows you something that you've been missing.
Something shows me. I'm going to a source to get something that gives me profound happiness.
Well, and I don't want to jump ahead of your story, but that was also opposite of you kind of not dealing with the sadness or the issues that you had kind of blocked by keeping busy.
Right, right. And that was a lot of it. Now,
we'll split the therapy thing.
Well,
okay.
Now, as a matter of fact, going back to the first girl, I had dinner with Davin, and I was telling her, you know, that I was crazy about this, and I goes, this is the first woman that I would give up everything for. And Davin goes, well, define everything. I go, our show, my comedy, the band, everything,
mm-hmm.
you know.
And he did his best to make that happen.
Yes, I did.
Yes, he did.
Yes, I did.
Apparently not good enough because you're sitting here.
Try harder to fuck up.
Yes, I did. So moving on the year, October rolled around and we started hanging out more. And, I kept in touch with her. We would text every week. Going into the new year, going into February of this year, you know, she told me, she goes, look, I'll come to see you do stand-up. I'll come to see you play in the band. But she goes, you know, you want to take me out today? I feel kind of funny because you're married. And I said, well, what if a boulder rolled down a hill and ran over my wife? She said,
what is it? What is your wife, the Roadrunner and your Wile E. Coyote?
In my mind, sometimes, yes.
He spends all day trolling the Acme store online.
I mean, to come up with that situation.
I know.
I'm a comic. I got to make a smart-ass answer. You give me a break, will you?
So say a boulder would roll over my wife. How would you feel then?
Well,
just flat. How do you like me now?
So I was like, okay. But I still kept texting her. I still kept pursuing. Because in my mind, I was liked her a lot. And I still wanted to hang out with her and stuff like that. Probably around March going into April.
Right.
She wound up getting a gig at this certain bar. And I would hang out. Well, I would drive to Jersey just to hang out.
Right.
Just I loved hanging out with her. She's a great girl hanging out. And she never came on to me or anything, but she always put that wall up to me that, hey, you know, I just want to be friends and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, in June, the other one came back to visit.
Oh, my God.
And I got her a birthday card. We went out to dinner. We didn't go out to dinner alone.
Have the boyfriend?
No. Oh, the other one?
The first one.
The first one? Yeah. I don't know if she's got a boyfriend. I don't know.
Huh.
Oh, the guy? No, they broke up. But I think she might have been dating something where she is.
I would think that would come up over dinner.
Yeah.
Oh, no. A lot came over on our ride out because I wrote her a song. I wrote her a song called Bridges. And in,
I believe McClinton's covering it now.
Instead of a bitch, he probably was. All right. So I used to tell Chris White, my guitar player, I go, this song is about her. I go, she'll never hear it. I don't even know how to bridge, no pun intended, the subject of her ever hearing it.
Right.
So when I went, we were hanging out, she goes, hey, I'll take a ride with you out to the restaurant, you know, because I want to hear the song. And it blew my mind to have her in the car with me listening to the song I wrote about her, which she liked.
She did.
Yeah.
So we had it on CD,
yeah.
Now she liked the song, or she liked the fact that you wrote it about her?
She liked the song, and I guess maybe liked the fact that I wrote it about her.
It's very romantic, by the way.
Yeah.
I haven't heard the song, but I mean.
I'll play it for you.
You know what?
It's going to be on the new album. We're putting it on the new
album. Oh, okay, cool. No, because I'm just saying that there's two ways for that to go. There can be, you know, wow, that's so cool, I'm tearing up because it's so romantic and he thinks that much about me. Or there could be testing the door locks and just kind of guessing, can you do a somersault at that mile
no,
per hour,
I'm not
flinging
a
yourself
I'm not
out of the
I'm
door?
Not an effing creep. Okay?
Well, again,
creep.
That's subjective.
Look, if I'm under a window playing it, you know, under a window,
but
that's
but
a problem.
But she's got a point. That's a very confined space.
Yeah.
I mean, it worked out well for you.
She knows me. She knows me well enough.
Okay, all right.
I know you well enough.
No,
I'd be uncomfortable.
Meanwhile, the other...
Yeah, if he's writing love songs to you, Davin, I would worry, too.
But then again, maybe it's about time.
Meanwhile,
where's my damn song?
Meanwhile, the other one, I wrote a song to her as well.
Mm-hmm.
You might want to give them some fake names so we can keep track of this. I know who you're talking about
because
I know their real names. But for the
listeners, well, they'll be known as Woman A. Woman A is the first woman. I don't want to say their name.
No, you
might
make something up.
Give them a fake name.
All right, the
woman
first girl
a.
we'll call Susan.
Okay. That's number one.
Name. Shut
that's
up.
Your
it's
real
name, you asshole. All
right,
so Susan.
Right.
Scroll
so
down.
The first girl I met when I fell in love with in 2011. We'll call Susan.
Okay, and who was the newer one?
We'll call the newer one Betty.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So
1950s story.
Right. It's not Agnes and Laverne, stupid.
Hey, hey, get this. Work on your side of the road. You leave Agnes out of this. Don't confuse the listeners.
Yeah, right. We have to.
So, he's dating Agnes now? I thought Agnes was Belinda. I don't understand. Oh. How could Joe be in love with Agnes? I thought Dick Eldorado was in love with Mavis. You're fucking it all up, Joe.
No. He was in love with Mabel. Don't you remember?
Yes.
I can't even remember their own names.
No, I can't remember the fake names we got from now. So
don't worry. Trucker Tom knows.
Susan, yeah, he's keeping track.
Susan is the first girl. Betty's the second girl.
Yes, yeah. Susan was the first girl. Betty was the second
so
girl.
So you're in the car with Susan and you play her song.
Yeah.
And she likes it.
She liked it.
Okay.
And we went out to dinner and we were talking about our relationships and stuff like that, you know, because she had her own thing going on. And then I told her what was going on between Joanne and I, because Joanne and I are in the same place that she was with her boyfriend when she, you know, she dissolved about a year ago.
Okay.
Right. So anyway, then Betty, I was at rehearsal one night and Betty mentioned, boy, a way to a girl's heart is to write her a song.
Oh.
So on President's Day, I sat down and spent 10 hours writing a song.
Okay.
Which is probably going to be on the new CD as well. So, you know, that was nice. And, you know, move along, we were texting back and forth. And I would go visit Betty where she worked and hung out a lot and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, moving into Jesus Christ.
We were up June. To, like, June.
Yeah, June. Yeah, June. The first girl.
Susan.
Susan visited. And then she left.
And the wife has no idea of any of these shit.
Nothing. Okay. Nothing. Well, nothing. She did about Susan. I almost got caught red because I wrote Susan something. Now, I want...
That was a long time ago you almost got caught about Susan.
Right. Now, I want to preface this that both women did not come on to me. Both women did not lead me on. Both women did not make false promises. Both women were innocent bystanders in my own actions. So they were minding their own business.
I can see that.
Shut up.
I'm helping you. I'm agreeing with you.
Right.
By the way, Lisa says Bubbles and Peaches are much more interesting names, but we're going
to
stick with
yeah,
yours.
Yeah, but this is Joe. You know the references go to the 50s.
Bubbles and Peaches isn't pretty, isn't new millennium either.
No, but then you would get into a stupid story about the Tender Trap.
Well, I said that they're not strippers. Funny.
You
know
me very well, don't you?
Trucker Tom, of course, gets that reference because he gets every friggin' reference.
So Lisa says after you said, no, both these girls are innocent, she says, so Joe was being a creep, basically.
Oh, that's the other one.
That's the other one.
you thought Lisa was calling you up? Lisa, if you'd like to call in 845-986-8804.
The party of the first part would like to talk to the party in the second part.
All right. So none of these women have done anything. They've been very straightforward.
They've been very straightforward.
Has a suspicion about Susan, but
right. Has a specific
nothing concrete because right. You know how to dance.
Now, the guilt that I had was immense.
Yeah.
But I had to keep going to find this happiness.
Yeah.
But the guilt, which was really making me depressed, I found out the guilt was the thing that was making me depressed.
Okay.
And the
that
guilt,
makes sense.
I had to make headway with the guilt to try to maybe improve my relationship with Betty.
Right.
So June goes into July, and who was the first one?
Susan.
When Susan left. All right, I'm done. So when Susan left,
your story, Bubbles.
When Susan left, I was very depressed. Matter of fact, I was with Joanne in bed next to me. I'm crying because she was leaving. She left.
Oh wow! Yeah.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
Did Joanne ask why?
I told her it was a sad episode of the Cosby Show we were watching.
No, that's not true.
Yeah.
That's what you said?
Yeah. Have you watched The Cosby Show?
Yes.
It was
never made me cry.
Well, it made me cry in my world.
Is that what you told your wife?
Yeah.
She bought that?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Wow.
So wait.
Okay.
So June is going into July, and then I was hanging out where
it's a lousy July, by the way.
This is where it gets interesting. So this is where...
it wasn't already? Okay.
Well, no, but this is... This is where, you know...
One of them lives in Ghana now.
Well, anyway, so I start visiting the place where Betty works, a new place where Betty works, and I'm hanging out, and we're having a good time, and she's starting to see this person who's now her friend.
Friend in quotes or friend?
Friend, just friend.
Well, okay.
Right.
Okay.
But I was there one night, maybe about three or four weeks ago, and I'm watching her hang out with a new friend, and I see that this is being more than a friendship, and it's starting to grow. And my first thing was jealousy, intense jealousy for this guy.
Yeah.
But I could also see how happy she was being around this guy and his kids and stuff like that. And I felt like, you know what, I'm being selfish, stupid. I'm being in the way of something, really nice.
And you realize jealousy is a very expensive emotion.
Jealousy is an expensive emotion.
Yes, it is.
Betty's birthday was a couple of weeks ago, and what I did was I gifted her with a very expensive present. I won't name the present, but it was a very expensive present, and it was a symbol to her that I'll always love and care about her.
Is that what it was a symbol of?
Yeah.
That's because that's not the version you told me when you had originally happened. That's a much more kinder.
But then, no matter where she is, it's something that she would have to wear all the time, and then I will always be there.
No. That wasn't what you told me. Be honest. You wanted to do this. Be honest. One of the reasons why you originally bought this, and it's a very real and honest emotion. I completely understand it. I told you you were nuts at the time.
Well, for me.
So every time she's with the new guy, the friend, he has to look at that gift that you bought her, and remember, he can't afford that. That's what you told me.
Well, a little bit, yeah.
But
I'm always there.
But that's important. If you're going to go
but
out,
it was the truth. But it was the truth that every time she looks at it, it's a token of me. How much? And it's true.
And every time he looks at it, it's a token of you.
Okay. Yes.
That's the first thing you told me. Not this other flowery bullshit which you want to go back on, which is fine.
Well, it's very much a stereotype. It's like bears marking their territory by clawing a tree and letting no other bears know that they've been there.
If you're going to tell me you want to be honest with the audience and come on the show and do those, because I certainly tried to talk you out of them, like, you really want to do this, then you're going to tell the truth.
That was your way of ripping a big old piece of bark off that tree.
Yeah, and I'm not going to go into what this guy's financial situation is, which you told me. I'm not going to go into it. But you made it very clear that there was no way in this guy's current state of economic being, he could afford this. Not that you could, but you were going to, and this was a motivation for you, which is fine. It's a very honest and real motivation.
It is.
Yes.
It is. And I do understand
but
that.
But also that it would be something that she would look at forever. And always,
or at least until
always
it breaks.
You get a guarantee. It's guaranteed for life.
Well, for that price, you should.
Yeah.
But it's sort of like, when people buy, jewelry, for example, then they engrave it. When you look at that person.
I didn't get that crazy.
That would have cost an extra $100.
My engagement ring was my grandmother's. And I look at it and I think of my grandmother.
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Right. So that's the whole thing. Even if this guy moves on, maybe 20 years down the road, she'd look at it and think of me.
Yeah.
So essentially, that's in the long run. So. Also, she goes, she wanted this thing more than everything else in the world. So she goes, text me when you get home. And I text her, and I told her that I loved her, and that she's very special to me. And I went into why I got her the present and this, that, and the other thing. And, she's saying, well, me and this guy are just friends. And I knew that things were going well for them. So, last week I sent a text to Betty and said, hey, I'd like to come out this is 2 weeks ago. I'd like to come out, hang out. She said, okay, but, I'm...
come out to where she works?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And she goes, well, if you want, I don't know what my shifts are and stuff like that. I'm like, oh, well, maybe I won't come out anymore. She goes, well, that's your choice. And then I wrote her another letter saying, I explained to her that I didn't mean to come off like an asshole. I know what's going on. I go, it's cool. For me to say it's not cool, I'd be hypocritical because I've been telling, I'm trying to, I said better times were coming for you.
Yeah.
So it'd be hypocritical me to say, to stand there. Oh, no, the guy's a decent dude. I wish the guy was an asshole so I came out, but the guy's a decent dude and he treats her very, very well.
Right.
So I have nothing to be happy, but I still want to be a friend and stuff like that. Now, with that going on, 2 weeks ago, I was very depressed. Very depressed.
Yes. We saw some beam comments.
Right. So, I was in my garage. If you guys want to look, I wrote the blog. It's on our blog. I was in my garage, and I was at the lowest point. I've been at two low points. That New Year's Eve with Susan.
I actually literally wrote it down on a pad and pointed
this
to it.
This is a very emotional thing. I got to have name tags for these girls.
I know. That's why I put a scorecard in front of
you. So it was, I was at that emotional state with Susan, and 2 weeks ago I was at the lowest point I was with Betty. But you wrote Beth.
You
like, who the hell is
named him.
I know I named him, but it sure looks like she wrote Beth. I'm like, who the hell is Beth?
Contestant number three. Come on down.
Maybe, but anyway, so I was at my lowest point, and I was considering committing suicide. I had everything figured out. I got the strap. I got the belt that was putting around my neck. I sized that up. Went up to the beam. I tested the beam to see if the beam is going to hold. And I'm like, I got some nails. The nails will work. I get the ladder, and I'll put the ladder up, and I'm going to stand on the ladder, just kick the ladder.
You can't clean the gutters, but this type of effort to killing yourself, you can do.
I, for the first time in my life, I had a plan.
That's scary.
It was. So what I
he puts this blog up there. It's a very, you know, between your suicide blog and his suicide. I'm like, what are you guys doing?
Mine was about depression and illnesses people can't say.
I go, Joe, is everything you go? He goes, I'll be fine for the show. I go, I'm not asking about the show, stupid.
I want to know if you're okay. I know. He put something on Facebook about I'm looking for a beam, and I was like, you do that and I'll kill you.
I said to Pip when you said that, I go, you got to check out this blog. I was going to tell you, you know what, don't come in just so you could take some time, but I knew that you look forward to this show, so I didn't say anything.
Right, and it was very, you know, at the point it was very therapeutic. So anyway, so I go, I looked and I go, what am I doing? So I stopped and had a smoke.
Waste a perfectly good beam.
Shut up. So I stopped and had a smoke. And
which is a slower way.
Yes. That's something I got to quit soon. But
Trucker Tom says that he had the knife so he could inscribe Brooks was here before he took the leap.
I don't know what that means.
It's obscure.
No, it's not. What's the name of the show, the movie that's from Tom? Because I cannot remember.
All right, we'll move on with the show. You guys can hash it out.
Right. Yeah. So I stopped and had a smoke, and I thought about when my father killed himself, and I was the last person to see him alive.
Yeah.
And I thought about how he affected my mom, mm-hmm. and how my mom was never the same, how my mom never remarried, how we had financial hardship, how when he committed suicide behind this diner where we in my town, how these people must have felt when they saw him do it.
Yeah.
So basically what I wrote is a blog that how Joanne would have felt coming home and finding me hanging from the beam, how Davin would have felt, you know, waiting the 2 weeks before he got Larry in, you know.
Yeah, that was, like, really weird. It was
I know. It's like, wait a minute. So everybody else is feeling bad, and Davin's the only heartless one
in
your blog.
Davin would be very upset.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, he's working on a CD. It's not even done yet.
I know. He wouldn't give
God.
My urology yet.
Why don't you just keep digging over there?
No, but because that's what he did. I know.
Right. I know.
So and I told you, I don't know if I would bring Larry in.
Yeah, right. Okay. Roz, I'd want you in my spot. It's cool. You could be like the...
Well, you know, Kumi's probably looking for a new gig. So, you know, yeah.
It was the Shawshank Redemption, by the way.
Oh, okay. Anyway, can Joe continue with this?
Yes,
right.
Yes.
So,
yes, please. No.
I wound up cutting the lawn. I can't
do
this. So I went to the nut doctor, Ron's, this Saturday. And I told her the story, and I said, she goes, well, are you still having these feelings? I go, yeah, I am, very much so. And she goes, well, if you have these feelings, would you call me? And I'm like, well, I don't want to bother you on a Sunday. You know, you might be at the pool, you know. And she goes, call me. Or she goes, go to the emergency room. And I go, that's a good thing, because basically, you know, by the time you get there and you sit for 4 hours, you're like, fuck this, I'll go to a movie. Yeah.
The urge kind of subsides.
I've seen Joe get there, like, all depressed, and then by the end, just all pissed off about Obamacare.
Yeah. Yeah. That would snap
him
out.
It worked. I'm no longer depressed. I'm pissed off.
I'm pissed off. So I get home from the nut doctor, and I have to.
That's a terrible thing to call somebody.
I know.
So we call it the therapist. I get back from the therapist, and it's Saturday. And I have to sit down, and I have to go over the clips for or the CD. I have to start editing the iHeart stuff, and I have the door ajar in my office, and Joanne closes the door, and I go, just leave the door open. Leave the fucking door open.
Yeah.
Don't touch the fucking door. So she opens the door. I leave the door because you're walking in and out. And I'm sitting at the computer. I go, you know what? I've had it with everything. Everything. I'm done with everything. And then I told her, and I go, just want you to know, I almost killed myself 2 weeks ago. And then Joanne started getting very emotional and flipping out. She goes, you know, she gives me a hug. She goes, you can't do that. You can't do that. Blah, 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 blah. And I go, well, I'm done.
It's not blah, blah, blah. Well, that's some really important
stuff. I know. It was very important.
With all the stuff you've put her through over the years in the relationship and the hard past couple of years you got had, she's still there for you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was the guilt was the driving force behind this.
She's very protective of you.
Oh, I understand that. I understand that. We've been living separate lives. We've been living separate lives. I've been a monster to live with because what I've been doing is instead of the way I was facing my guilt, I was acting out angrily to her.
Yeah.
And it was just exacerbating the problem. So she goes, well, nothing is that bad. And she goes, I don't even remember how we got there. But it turned out, she goes, well, I'm looking to move on and stuff like that. It turns out, now this is the key point where it's very, very weird, where some horrible news went against a horrible feeling and dissipated itself. Joanne admitted to me that she was kind of seeing two people.
Wow.
And she's been texting back and
forth. Wait, what does seeing mean?
Yeah.
Let me continue.
Oh, right.
She's the first guy, I think both people that she worked with, she was the one guy she was texting back and forth and talking to and stuff like that.
Should have taken her to Michigan.
Well, and then he was kind of asking her to do creepy stuff sexually and stuff like that. And Joanna's like, I got to get rid of this guy.
So how long was that going on before he creeped her out?
Probably a couple of months.
And when was this?
I don't know exactly.
Was this before or after you had been a creep?
This is during. This is during.
Now, do you think this is after she discovered Susan or before?
Probably after she discovered Susan.
Okay, so you think that was probably the event.
That was probably the event.
Okay.
The next guy is this other guy. We'll call him Chad, okay? Chad.
That's a nice douchey name. Why
not? Are you kidding? Because I don't want to go through 14 names. Right. Bill, Joe, Todd.
Chad.
Jesus Christ. So.
And he had a cardigan. It was tied around his waist.
Right. Now, this guy, Chad, Joanne does like a lot and gives Joanne the happiness that I haven't. She's, again, she did what she did to get the happiness she wasn't getting from me.
Well, because you guys no longer had a relationship.
That's right.
Yeah,
exactly.
You were roommates.
Exactly.
Not even
exactly.
Good roommates.
Even not good roommates. Yeah. Okay? So this guy, Chad, she's been talking. Matter of fact, she was talking to him in the living room on Thursday night when I'm getting a drink of water. And she goes, oh, yeah, I was on the phone with him. I go, have some common I go, Jesus Christ, even I went to the Target parking lot to make my phone call.
You know? Can you at least try to hide it?
Yeah.
Well, she figures you haven't paid attention to her in years, so what's the
yes, thing? Yes, yes.
You don't even notice.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Basically, you guys were acting out because you didn't know how to communicate.
Yes. So,
very
so,
good.
So,
I was a psychology major.
You get another $5.
Yeah.
Yay. Yay.
I could be a nut doctor.
Cough.
What? Yeah. It's raining men.
So what happened was...
I know what you meant.
Yeah.
Can you let Joe unburden himself without
yes,
making
I'm
testicle
trying.
References?
No.
So this guy makes her very happy.
Okay.
Emotionally.
Emotionally.
Did she tell you if it's gone past emotionally?
No, it hasn't.
But the first guy, he was asking her
to do creepy shit.
Creepy shit, but...
She never had sex with anybody, never kissed anybody.
Because that sounded like they were doing something,
no,
and then
no,
he was
no,
asking
no.
for more.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So are you guys on equal footing with that, or...?
Yeah. Let me continue.
Okay.
What should have been devastating news for me was the best thing I ever heard.
Yeah.
Because that guilt that I had, that guilt that was driving me to suicide, that guilt that's been making me miserable, and a little side note, on the way to rehearsal, there was an incident 2 weeks ago at practice where we were supposed to do something for a certain amount of measures. And the guys weren't, the guys missed it. And I'm like, guys, it's 4 measures. And I just said it like that. And Johnny and Chris turn around and go, Joe, calm down. We're just trying to have fun. We're just trying to have fun, Joe. And I looked at them, and I had a look to them where they're not the problem. I'm acting in a way that I'm not fucking catching.
You should probably give Johnny my phone number.
Yeah. You guys also gave me that look about something a couple of months ago where I looked at you two and said, you know what? They're not the fucking problem. So the way I've been acting, and I've been better, man. I've been better since last year, since I came back to the show because I didn't want to blow it. But when you feel, and I told Chris last night, I go, when you feel that you're acting in a way that you're not catching and it's jeopardizing stuff, it's very scary.
Yeah, you don't even notice your own.
You don't even notice. You don't notice.
People, when they start behaving in an irrational way, they don't necessarily realize it.
Yeah,
and
I said,
it's the same with rehearsal, and it's the same with the show sometimes, where if there's an opinion, and you guys, well, I don't give a damn what anybody, but when it's not, when that's farthest from your intention, and you're just trying to have fun,
yeah,
but it's sounding like that, that's very scary, and that's very not good.
Yeah, when you're like yelling, or you're like, you look
or
like
just
a nut,
even,
you don't
I wasn't
even know you
feeling,
are.
I was, yeah, but presenting myself in a way that was very out of character for me, but not even something that I could apologize for. I didn't mean to act like that, which I did apologize. But if you meant that, you acted like that, and you have to apologize. That's one thing. But if you acted like that with no intention of that, and now you have to apologize, that's almost like apologizing for showing up drunk somewhere. You know what I'm saying? Where your actions, you're not in control of your actions in a way where it gets out of hand.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's a poor analogy that you use. But yeah, no,
right,
I know.
Okay.
It's just like if
what
you
do you mean it's a poor analogy?
It's like, but if you had a brain tumor.
Right, something like that.
And you're changed your behavior.
It's just, yeah,
that
right,
just happened
right.
on Law and Order this afternoon.
So anyway, everything came out. Everything came
How
out.
How did Joanne take to your admitting of what you were had been up to?
Because she had these two relationships, it wasn't that hard to take.
Thank
it
God
wasn't
for Chad.
Devastating.
I
yes.
know.
Because, and that's what I was scared of. I didn't want to hurt her.
Yeah.
I didn't want to hurt her. Because of these guys, she reacted in a way that was in response to something I was doing. And I could live with that, because you want to know something? The fact that she is like kind of seeing this one guy and this, it's kind of my punishment for acting the way I did. That punishment is pulling the guilt away. And that guilt has been making me a madman for 2 fucking years.
Yeah.
And that guilt is gone. So then we started comparing stories.
Maybe you guys can give each other ideas.
We're
tips.
Sitting there, and she asked me, she goes, well, I caught you. She goes, do you still love Susan? And I go, yes, I still love her very, very much. And she goes, do you love Betty? And I go, yes, I do love Betty. And I go, what's with you? And she goes, well, this one guy, Chad, makes me very, very, very happy. And I love talking with him. He lives down in Florida. I might go visit him and this, that, and the other thing. So everything was out in the open. There was no secrets anymore. Everything was there. A sense of calm that I don't know how Joanne feels, but a sense of calm that I felt, I haven't had in 2 years. And a sense of calm just washed it away, because what I was doing with these women, I was trying to make something happen to offset the guilt that I had.
Yeah.
You know? It's almost like what Ann Jackson is going through. Ann Jackson is trying to get something that's not there. And to get there would have been devastating. I say this every time we do that segment.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always chimed in and I go, I know where she's coming from, because my situations are different, but it's just like that in a sense.
Yeah.
You know,
she just can't face it.
I'm rolling on a false hope to make everything better in my life. And if that false hope goes through, it could be devastating. But it wasn't. So Joanne and I, I felt so much bit. I got to apologize for not being around for her when her mom died.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was a lot of tears. It was a lot of laughing. And we decided that we will separate. She wanted to get a divorce. And I said, well, I think it's best that we get a place. Maybe we get our own place, because I need to be by myself for a year. I need to be by myself and figure everything out. Figure out whether.
But you had said this last week that you were separated.
Right. But it wasn't. But it was. We just touched on the topic.
So again, the question is, after a year, if you're just separating, is the, because last week you said, well, the door is still open. We could find our way back, but you're not going to get in the way of her. She's not going to get in the way of you.
And that's what that year is going to be. That year is going to be figuring
out.
Are
you going to be in the house?
Well, no, this is what we're going to do. We have to find out. The situation isn't that, because Joanne goes, well, we should put the house on the market. And at this point, everything was just so cool and civil. We started working together. We started working together as us again.
Like problem solving.
Yeah, problem solving. We haven't.
Infidelity can really bring a relationship together.
In a way,
I'm not suggesting this to
Joanne.
Mr.
And I, Joanne and I, that for those four, Joanne and I haven't been that close. As you know, we haven't been that close in 2 years. It was almost like old times again when we would sit and discuss stuff, but it's not. It's different.
Yeah.
But we both realize that this marriage is not for us.
Right.
And Friday night, I had dinner with my Lenore, who's my used to be my daytime wife during the day. Lenore, I love as much as Davin. You know, she sets me straight the way she does.
I by the way, I don't know if you saw, I had to chastise her. She was being nice, and I know you can't handle that from me and her.
That's the joke.
I had to set her. I said, now more than ever, Joe needs us to be nasty.
Well, she laid it to me today about pricing, and the way I price some called me a thieving crook. So as I
good,
guess,
I'm glad.
Okay, good. She's back to her senses.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But we sat. She's going through some stuff. So it was actually, I called her on Thursday. I go, we need a drink.
Yeah.
So we went out on Friday, and we were telling her she's going through a whole thing, and then she goes, you know, she was telling me the same thing that Friday night. You have to move on. You have to tell Joanne. You have to move on. You have to do it. You've got to sell your house and blah. So, you know, it all came to fruition. My house, I owe some money on a refi, so what I want to do is I want to fix it up to try to get the best dollar.
Yeah.
Joanne, and now because everything is very amicable between Joanne and I, her cousin is one of the biggest real estate agents in our town. So she's going to her and find out, you know, what can we get for the house and this, that, and the other thing. The goal is to get the house fixed up, cleaned up, and on sale probably by the end of the year. And then we'll put it on the market, and then we'll sell the house, split the money. You know, mm-hmm. So we're gonna get a mediator, and then we're gonna move on to our lives. I feel I need the year, you know, to get my act straight, to figure it out. You know, I still do have feelings for my wife, but it. We just realized that from when we first married, because I even asked Lenore, I go, Lenore, you knew me when I was a newlywed. And I go, did it seem that there was trouble from the start? She goes, oh, yeah, absolutely.
Really?
It just seemed it was a rocky road and an uphill battle. Yeah. Because we had to go to marriage counseling, like marriage encounter, like about maybe a year, 2 years after we got married. And mm-hmm. every time we were going on vacation, it was an argument, and there was just always arguments. The key thing is she doesn't want to be married to an entertainer anymore. And this is what I was theorizing. She wants somebody that will be here there for her on the weekends, to go to dinner, to go to movies, to do this.
Well, in your defense, I've seen your calendar. You're around on the weekends.
Smart ass.
There's still hope.
Oh, wow.
Well, you know, maybe I'll take her out to dinner, just as friends. You
but,
know?
But that was always the thing. We talked about that. You didn't want to spend time. And all your friends knew this.
Because
you were running from
I was running from something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what happened was when I built walls up. Now, I dated a girl before my mom died who all the walls came down.
Right.
All the effing walls came down. Loved her. Told her I loved her. We broke up, and then we got back together again, and then we finally broke up. I was devastated for a year. Devastated for a year. As I got out of that, okay, my mom, as I go, I'm going to start new, but my mom passed away. Because of this earlier girl, I built up walls, and I said, the next person I mate, I'm keeping those walls up. Unfortunately, Joanne was the victim of that.
Yeah.
And it took somebody from when we got married in 2000, and when the hell did we get married? To 1996, going into 2011, for all the issues that we had in our marriage, I would push back because she let me gig. And I pushed it back, pushed it back, pushed it back, pushed it back. It couldn't be pushed back anymore. And then when I met Susan... When I saw Susan in 2011, those walls fell and crumbled.
Well, I think I speak for our fans and Pip. We hope that you and Joanne find happiness either with each other, which is a long shot, or other people.
Yeah.
And you guys have
everything's in a cool.
So
everything's
good.
In a cool
you're
place.
You're on a path to being better.
I haven't been this at peace in over 2 years.
Well, actually, in the chat, Sharu, for example, says, "I'm happy for Joe's calm and peace."
So am I, because he's in close proximity. All right, let's take a break. That was certainly deep. Let's take a break. I think Pip has a story about something a little bit more upbeat, a party or something he went to. So we'll do that when we come back. We're gonna take a short break. Jesus Christ!
You can listen to Davin's Den live every Tuesday on ExtremeJams.com. That's ExtremeJamz.com. WKAD Radio, Wicked, Clutch and Wiggle, CyanetRadio.com, TalkSuperStation.com, The Juggernaut, MacDaddyRadio.com, iHeartRadio, RuthlessRadio.fm, DavinsDen.com. TheIndieAuthority.com also has apps so you can listen live on all mobile platforms, including BlackBerry, Android, and Apple. If you missed Tuesday night's show, you can download the show at any time on davincomedy.com, davinsden.com, podalmighty.com, stitcher.com, iTunes, the Android app, iHeartRadio, ruthlessradio.fm. Scammer clips are available on iHeart or davinsden.com. iHeart can only be heard in the U.S.